Hello and welcome to the first episode of Gaza From Within podcast, presented to you by Diwan Gaza. My name is Jihan Al-Farah and I'm a Palestinian from and in the Gaza Strip and will be your host for this podcast. Gaza From Within will be addressing diverse and different aspects of life here in the Gaza Strip specifically, within the context of the siege and also the Israeli occupation of all of Palestine. We will be stopping at different critical and sometimes urgent issues that we as Palestinians face, and also at the not very significant or newsworthy incidents or encounters that we as human beings go through. And since the podcast is entirely prepared and executed by people here in Gaza, we hope that we will be able to reflect the true image of Palestinians and youth here, and of the individual beyond the mainstream narrow and stereotypical depiction. If you want to get in touch with us regarding anything you hear on this podcast, you can email diwanghazza@gmail.com, tweet diwanghazza, or use the hashtag GazaFromWithin on Twitter. You can also leave us a comment on the blog post below, where you will find all of this contact information, or of course leave us a message on the Facebook page. We're open for suggestions and requests, and we hope to tackle a variety of subjects that would portray what life here in Gaza is like. And now that I've set up the first impression, let me revert back to my real and not too elegant accent. So, today's episode will be addressing football, or soccer, here in Palestine and especially in the Gaza Strip. And just like with everything in Palestine, politics is always interfering. And so this episode is dedicated to the 25-year-old Palestinian national soccer team player, Mahmoud Sersek, who's been detained for 3 years so far in Israel under unlawful combatants law. This law allows Israel to detain Palestinians from Gaza indefinitely, without charge or trial. Mahmoud was heading to the West Bank to join the Palestinian national soccer team after having been issued an Israeli permit that allows him to cross through Erez, which is the checkpoint connecting Gaza and the West Bank, or actually separating them. So when he reached Erez, Mahmoud was arrested and has been repeatedly denied any information on why he's being held prisoner. And as his family confirmed, Mahmoud has only ever been obsessed with soccer, never gotten into any political or military activity, and not a single political faction here in Gaza has claimed him as a member. Mahmoud has been on a hunger strike since March 19th, so that's over 85 days of hunger strike now. He's breaking a world record, as we can see, and he's only demanding his freedom. My guest today is Iba Rizib. Iba is a very active young female and blogger here from Gaza. And Iba is also so much into soccer and, of course, politics. Hi, Iba.
Oh, hi. Hi, Jihan.
From the moment I decided on this topic for the first episode, I thought, who's into soccer, speaks English, and also politically active? And you are the first one to come to my mind.
Thank you. I'm honored.
So tell me a little bit about yourself and why you like soccer and who do you cheer for the most?
I'm a fourth year student in Al Azhar University in Gaza, of course. English and French literature. Also I'm an activist, blogger, mainly I'm active on social media and on the ground, of course. I can say people here eat, breathe, and talk about football all the time. People are so into it, they're yani addicted. And of course we have our local football league. Unfortunately, it's separate from we have a separate league different from the West Banks. We've got many local clubs, and they've got their own fans, and people know about them. They go to stadiums to watch them, and there is media coverage for it locally. For me personally, I got to see some of these players actually, playing on the ground. I got this chance back in 2010, was the Gaza World Cup.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that. I got into a stadium and I didn't miss one single game. It was really nice, and I got to see the talents here, and they actually play very well. And I was honored to be there, actually.
Who do you like to cheer for in football? Would you like to say
I would love to, if we would get the chance for our football to prosper and be better and improve. But mainly I cheer for a lot of clubs. Do you want to really listen to that?
I remember you used to like Brazil.
Brazil, oh, of course. I mean, it's my addiction in football. I mean, Brazil comes number one, and there is no way to argue with me about that. I mean, Brazil, they're the masters of football. So, and of course, on European level, I cheer for Real Madrid. I'm sorry, I know that I'm Palestinian and all of that nonsense about me being Palestinian are my duty to cheer for Barcelona, but no, that's a different case. I think that the people are, you know, focusing on Spanish league here, though I don't think that they're the best. I think the Italian league is pretty much better than or I can say the best on the European level. So, and Italy, I cheer for Inter Milan.
Yeah, there's also, I think I remember the English teams, Chelsea.
Liverpool. Oh, no, Chelsea sucks. Though that they won the Champions League this year, which is like a major achievement for them because they've never won it before. It's a first, which is good. I mean, competition is good. I mean, it's boring that, you know, only one club that has the record or something. It's good to see competition. And and in England, I cheer for Liverpool, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This stuff, I know it just because of taxi drivers here in Gaza. They're always like,
well, it's
cafes and stuff.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's funny when I get to into a taxi and you know, the drivers, if it's, you know, from the taxi company, they know me and they know my obsession about football, and we all the way till I get, you know, to my place, we would talk about football all the way, and we would fight, we would argue, we'd discuss things. It's something, you know, good because you get to go out of the hardships you go through while living here and this besieged enclave. But I think, yeah, football is good for the soul, and it's good for the people of Gaza and Palestine, because it's it makes life a bit easier, of course, I think. Yeah.
Well, Libat, I prepared this short report. I asked a few people on their opinions on a few things. Let's just listen to it, and I'll be back with you. So how would you describe Gaza when there's a soccer match or, you know, some championship?
Yesterday I was at the cafe when the Euro 2012 was going on. Dozens of people gathered to attend the match.
When there is a match, Gaza will turn into a Spanish village or a Spanish city, either Barcelona or Madrid.
So who do you cheer for?
I'm not a big fan of football, but when I see football, I like to cheer for Barcelona.
I'm with the Barcelona fan. I'm with Messi.
No, Real Madrid.
You're Real Madrid?
I love Benzema.
I cheer for Barcelona mainly, and when it comes to the Mundial, I cheer for Italy usually. I like Italian people, and that's why I'm learning Italian language these days.
Real Madrid, I'm interested with Real Madrid. Like Mesut Ozil, he's my favorite one. He's a good player.
I'm not a fan of soccer, and I don't understand it. I don't cheer for anyone. I'm really bad with football. For one main reason, which is the answer to your first question. How would you describe Gaza when there's a football game between Barcelona and Real Madrid? And the answer is, it turns into a disaster. It feels like there's a curfew on the streets while the game is going, because you don't see anyone on the streets, you don't hear any cars. So in a way, it's actually, you know, less noise pollution, less traffic. But then, well, as soon as the game is over, you hear loud screaming, and you hear honks, and you hear cheering in the streets, even if it's after midnight, and it goes crazy. And it really annoys me, because people never get that excited for something that's actually worth getting excited for.
What do you think of the media coverage regarding Mahmoud Tarsek's case?
The world stands by and watches, and almost everything related to Palestine, very few people actually take action or speak out. And Mahmoud Tarsek is just another case, or another example of the world's silence when it comes to the Palestinian cause. So I'm less annoyed by the world, because I don't expect much of them. I am more annoyed by people here that support, that are fans of soccer, and especially European leagues.
Many people care about European football and European teams, and they pay no attention to Mahmoud Tarsek, who is a Palestinian smart footballer.
It wasn't covered by good way by media, but through Palestinian youth, boys and girls, they work for this case through the social media, like Facebook, Twitter. And they start to make some noise about it. But from my side of view, it doesn't come up by a good way.
We all active Twitter persons write about Mahmoud Tarsek, and we trended his hashtag for a half hour. And the most tweet is a retweet is Mahmoud Tarsek is a story of courage. Israel cannot jail freedom. I hope he get his freedom soon before he die.
So what do you think would happen if your favorite football player was actually detained by an occupier without charge or trial, like Mahmoud Tarsek, for 3 years or so?
He gonna make a big noise in the whole world if anything happened to him.
Well, the world will be angry. Such a famous player, so people won't just stand down and do nothing. They will try to make a noise, or to make something that to put it clear for the people who can see that there is an injustice happen, and that's it.
All the world will make a big campaign to resist and to let Messi be free from the prisoners, because it is not fair, and it is not, you know, it's illegal. They will, yani, I don't think that Messi will be in prison for one night or one day. Why this happens to our prisoners, the Palestinians?
Do you think Palestine would ever make it to, say, international soccer championships?
Well, one thing I can tell you is that Palestinian kids are really good when it comes to playing football. They only need to be, they only need some support when it comes to training and actually breaking through to worldwide competitions.
It's not about football, just my hope for the whole activities in Palestine to get improved.
I really believe in our abilities, not just in sports, but also in a lot of other fields. And I have faith in our soccer players. I don't have faith in myself as a football player, but I have faith in the potential of young children here in becoming sport athletes on an international level. And I know that there's a lot of initiatives now to support a children's championship for Palestine, with the hope of training them to join the Qatar Olympics in 2022. And the Royal Bank of Palestine is actually sponsoring the championship for these children in Gaza and in the West Bank. So they're going to be training children in Gaza and in the West Bank, and then hopefully they will be choosing the best children in each city and putting them together in a team to compete in Olympics in Qatar. I don't have hope in politicians, I don't have hope in the world, I don't have hope in our governments. I do have hope in us as a people, because I know that we have very bright minds, we have a lot of potential, we have a lot of talents, and a lot of energy that has to be leashed in the right direction. When it comes to Palestine, I can be very pessimistic but also very optimistic at the same time. So I'm very pessimistic about Israel changing its policies anytime in the near future, very optimistic about the potential that we have.
the finals of the next competition of the European Under 21's Football Championship in 2013 will be hosted by Israel while it is detaining a Palestinian football player. What's your comment on that?
There is a contradiction between the things they do from a side and the things they do from the other side towards the Palestinians, because I think Israel is trying to show the world that in some way they're trying to okay, we're here and we're contributing, etc., etc., while they detain football players and they, like, regardless of their background, regardless of their what they're doing, they just go and detain people here and there and. There has been no, like, almost no media coverage on Mahmoud Sarsak case, which is really disappointing because he's a football player and, you know, like, anything can be covered. But this guy, because he's a Palestinian and because he's been held for absolutely no charges, he get almost zero media coverage, which is really disappointing for us as Palestinians.
It's absurd that Israel is even allowed to compete in such a championship, much less host it. This is a state that has done everything it can to obstruct the athletic pursuits, as well as the artistic, educational, cultural, and economic pursuits of an occupied population. European football fans and others around the world should do everything they can to expose this farce and make it clear that a regime like this is incapable of competing on an equal plane with the rest of the world.
I am, of course, extremely angry that there will be something as exciting and as fun as a young championship, a soccer championship, happening in Israel, because this is something that the whole world will be following. But to be following it in a country that's basically practicing apartheid and racist measures against the whole population while illegally occupying them is something extremely annoying. If anything, I hope it brings light to what Israel is doing as a country. But of course, that's not going to happen, because we know how Israel treats any potential action against its actions, or even just shed light on what they do in Gaza and in Palestine, or the illegality of the actions.
This means that Israel is part of Europe. I don't understand. Israel is actually occupied Palestine, which means, if we think of it logically, that Palestine is also part of Europe. So actually, this player who's detained by Israel with no charges should be playing in these championships instead of being detained for no reason. So it means that we're living in a world that has absolutely no sense of logic. And Mahmoud, no matter what, being held without charges, should be released immediately, no matter what is happening in Israel or in the football world. He has the right to play wherever he wants and whenever he wants, instead of being punished for being Palestinian, just like the rest of the thousands who reside in Israeli prisons for years now.
So we're back with Ibat now. Ibat, can you tell us a little bit? I mean, I want to hear from you about Mahmoud Sarsak and what you think.
Before he got imprisoned, he was a professional player in one of the local clubs here in Gaza Strip. He's from the south, from Rafah. And I've read that he was the youngest player in the league. Mm-hmm. He has a record. I mean, it tells you something, that he's a big talent. He was not only going to the West Bank to represent us with the national team, he was also going to start a career in one of the West Banker clubs. In Balata, to be specific. That was his crime, actually. The only thing that he did, he wanted to cross to the West Bank, of course, from Erez, and he was imprisoned. I don't know. I mean, the people are not acting. The sports bodies, the FIFA, the International Federation of Football Association, or the European Federation, which is actually disappointing, because eventually Israel is is playing in Europe. Europe is hosting Israel, and they're welcoming Israel and their own championships. So if anyone to speak here, it's the especially the UEFA under the Michel Platini. Platter is the head of the FIFA, the international, but the fashion of football. The president of the European one hasn't said a word, and I mean, we've expected something else from him. And even if they said something, I think it's a little bit late, because I think Sersak didn't have to starve himself to death for almost 3 months for them to just speak up. I think he needed more than that, and he needs more than that. And I think they should have acted 3 years ago. Since we've got here to the stage where Sersak is actually dying, I think we've expected something more than words, and we know that they can do better than that. They can do better than words, and they have the full responsibility either way. There is the world now is watching Euro 2012 in both Poland and Ukraine. And they're going insane about it. We've noticed and we've read that some government officials in Europe, they boycotted the event, and they boycott some of the such as the celebration or the opening of the whole event in Ukraine, because of of course Ukraine is imprisoning some of the opposition leaders. So here you go. They're taking a stand, and they're boycotting the event for such a reason, while there is an international footballer held behind bars. I think that is, you're boycotting because of an opposition leader is held behind the bars, while you have an international footballer. He doesn't have any, resistance activity or political activity. He's just playing football, so I think the reaction should be much bigger than this. For me personally, I'm not following the Euro because not very well because of the electricity cuts, because of the the life here is not so it's not so easy. It's not so how do I say it? I think we have bigger issues that sometimes would make you not have the same enthusiasm for such events and for such championships that would make the world go crazy. It's not the same here in Gaza, and especially when you have a cause like the prisoners' cause, so you want to have some balance or some priorities set. So I think it's not very easy to act normally and to have the same interest like the world does.
Iba, as mentioned on the Daily Beast, it's an article. Mark Regev, the spokesman for the Israeli government, says he doesn't have any information about Sersak's condition, but then he described him as a self-proclaimed member of the Islamic Jihad. And he says that, Sersak has been involved in armed activities against Israelis, including laying bombs and manufacturing weapons. To quote him exactly, he says he's a member of a very extreme, ruthless and deadly organization that's funded by Iran. And he says that, he couldn't have been held for so long without a series of judges seeing all the relevant evidence and approving his continued detention. That's what he says. So I'd like to hear what you think of what he says, or what's your response to that.
If Mahmoud Sersak can get charged on a newspaper, I think that the Israeli court, can do better. If a newspaper can charge the Mahmoud Sersak, I think that, okay, so what's the use of the Israeli court? I mean, well, good for him if he knows what the accusations against the Sersak are. But eventually, we don't need his word. We need that to be set in court, and Mahmoud Sasek needs to be needs a fair trial and needs a defense and a charge. It's his right, and what Israel is doing is not, according to law, is not allowed. I mean, even according to law, if you have to do the administrative detention, it has to be under, you know, extreme conditions or in rare cases. But what Israel is doing is a constant policy, and it's not just, you know, one case or two cases as the law says, but I think
there are hundreds.
Yeah, of course, and I think this is the court's job, and this is what we demand the Israeli courts to do, as to put him on a fair trial and to charge him, because it's his right. I mean, you cannot detain him for 3 years and say this is a secret file, secret evidence, and I mean, and then so what? You'll keep him there for tens of years, and then what's next? I think it's yani, it's nonsense, and this is what Israel does. They murder people, and they say, well, they're involved with Iran. They're doing some terrorist attacks, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and they have nothing to prove what they're saying. We should get the media, pressure the media to cover more of the main issues and the such as the prisoners and so on, and especially sports-specialized channels like Al Jazeera and so on, to just, you know, speak about Sasek and what he's going through for just minutes, you know, to enlighten the others. I would love if the people would, you know, set their priorities straight and focus on real issues, and I would love to thank all the people and supporters worldwide, because we know what they do, and we know of their efforts and activities they do, but it's not enough, and we need more. You need to pressure the decision makers like the FIFA and so on. They can do something about it, and I would hope if we just, you know, let the prisoners file and the prisoners cause not be seasonal, not because they went on a hunger strike, so we should support them. It would be great if the people would keep the momentum and keep this great effort going, and make others hear about it, and to think of more creative ways to mobilize and to spread the word more.
So how would you describe the Israeli policies in dealing with Palestinian athletes, whether football players or any other sort of sports, really? What impact does that have on other sportsmen or athletes here in Palestine?
Well, I mean, Sasek is not the only case here. Israel has been really known for its crippling travel restrictions. The other day, they barred a paralyzed athlete from going to the West Bank for a Paralympics celebration. He was invited there by the British consulate, and the British consulate itself couldn't do anything about it, because eventually Israel has, you know, the final word to decide for you if you're crossing to the West Bank or not. Mm-hmm. And they denied him entry. Of course, you know, the Palestinian national team, they have the players from the West Bank, both West Bank and Gaza, and of course Palestinians from around the world, like Chilean and so on. But when the players from Gaza went to cross to the West Bank to represent us and the national team, most of the time they don't get allowed, they get denied, and or sometimes they allow only a few of them. Like if you want 10 of the players from Gaza, they allow like 5 or maybe less. So when you go to when these players go to join the national team. So here you go. Your national team is missing some key players, and so you don't expect them to perform well. It affects the performance, and I think that is something that is one of the main reasons to put our national team behind, way behind the other Asian teams. And I can say that we've got some pretty good talents, and we can do much better. But keeping the situation like this, and keeping such policies from Israel towards our players and athletes, is the main reason why we're not moving ahead and forward.
But it seems though ones granted permission to go to the West Bank or use Eretz, even those are not, you know, they get imprisoned sometimes, like Sarsak.
Yeah, exactly. But, and also, we cannot, forget the checkpoints. I mean, even the West Bankers, when they want to move to where's the national team's camp, as they cannot sometimes get to the to the team because of the checkpoints. Sometimes they, make them go back home and not cross. So even in the West Bank, there's a major problem, caused by Israel.
All right. So if we didn't have, for example, if we didn't have all of these Israeli restrictions or all of these policies, to what extent do you think football would improve here in Gaza, especially, and in Palestine as a whole?
I think not only football would improve. A lot of things would improve. I mean, everything would improve. I think the occupation is putting restrictions on pretty much every aspect on our lives, and football is not any different, is not an exception. It's only a small part of the whole, plight that we're living. And, just the other day, the Palestinian national team played against Tunisia, and they won. I mean, Tunisia has no occupation, and they have enough money, and life is going relatively normal for them. And even though the Palestinians were up to the challenge, it was a friendly game last month or something, and they managed to win. I mean, occupation is the main reason why football is not improving here in Gaza or in Palestine. And they're not only putting restrictions on the professional football players, they're also bombing the people in the streets while they're playing football. We had a lot of cases like last March. There was this big operation that lasted for 4 days, and there was this playground where kids were playing football, and it was bombed. I believe that if Israel had any good intentions, they would at least let the people play football. It's that simple, I guess. Yep.
Thank you, Iba. It was great having you today. Our first episode is drawing to an end. For today, hopefully next time we will be discussing another issue relating to Gaza and Palestine, something that we don't really usually hear about from Palestinians themselves. If you have any suggestions, please contact us. Otherwise, just have a good day.